Greetings, everyone. Good morning, and we've got a bright, sunny day, Sabbath day, and a warm weekend ahead of us, so what could be greater? I'm ready again for spring. Every time I get up here, I'm going to tell you I'm ready for spring, this cold weather to get over with. Thank you, Mr. Mann, for your message. I think it will fit in well with my subject matter today. For brethren, the great God that we worship is a God of love and a God of giving. I think we know that. God's character, His nature, is very generous. God's approach to us is full of sharing what He has with those He is calling to salvation. God is wanting to share Himself with us. And God, and that calling that God is performing now is only going out to and reaching a very few people. But eventually, it will be offered to all of mankind, even to those who have lived in the past. They will be resurrected and given a opportunity to live forever in God's kingdom. All people in their appointed time will have the occasion to witness the generosity of God, to be offered the opportunity to receive life eternal as part of God's family. That's why, in part, we're here, to understand and to learn more about this life eternal that's ahead of us, that God has promised us as part of His family. To just quote one scripture from many concerning this gift of life to come, I'd like to just read 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And John writes here, and this is the testimony, this is the declaration, this is the evidence that God has given us. He's given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. So the glory that we look ahead to is a gift from God. God is very generous. And He wants to share what He has spiritually with all of us, His children. We can get a further glimpse of this generosity in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 5, Hebrews 2, verse 5, Paul, or whoever the writer of Hebrews is or was, for he, God, has not put the world to come, that is, God's coming kingdom, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Angels won't rule in the world to come. Verse 6, but one testified in a certain place. And that's in Psalms 8, Psalm of David, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. Verse 8, you have put all things in subjection under His feet. And then the writer says, for in that He, that is God, put all in subjection under Him, that is under man, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we do not yet see all things put under Him. You see, it's not yet. It's for a time ahead. It's for when we are changed over to spirit, when we will have things put under subjection to us. God's plan is to give and share His glory with man. And this is not to say that man will one day be equals with God, for man will always be subject to the Father and to Jesus Christ. But we and all of mankind have a great potential ahead of us due to the very unselfish charity of God. I want to talk this morning about generosity, about God's nature being so very generous to us, and how we in turn should follow God's example and be very generous in our lives, generous to each other, generous to the church, to our families, and generous in spreading the truth of God to this world. God's nature is generous. We should take on God's nature. Does God know us for our generosity? Does He look down and say, "I'm well pleased in that person. He's so very generous." You know, being generous is much more than a financial thing. It's how we devote our time, how we devote our efforts to everyone that we interface with. I've entitled this message, "Being a Generous Christian." Being a generous Christian. God's Spirit exemplifies the very nature and character of God. And as we submit ourselves to God and are given His Spirit, that Spirit should prompt us to become more like God and His nature, and less like our own carnal nature that we struggle with. A nature striving for a nature that includes becoming more giving and more generous. King David understood God's Spirit as well as his own carnal spirit that caused him to fall down at times. I'd like to turn to Psalms 51, verse 10, a very touching, a very popular psalm of David, and this records David's earnest appeal to God to be forgiven. David had fallen down once again. Verse 10, Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Verse 12, "Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Beautiful message there. David knew that God's spirit and nature was generous, overflowing. And God testifies to all who read the scriptures that His Spirit is full of sharing and sacrificing for the sake of others. And we too must choose to live by God's generous spirit and not by our own carnal spirit that tends to be selfish, tends to be greedy, tends to be a little self-centered, tends to be egotistical. That doesn't describe God. If we want to be in God's kingdom, we need to take on God's nature and put away the nature of the flesh. God's Spirit is a gift to us to help us overcome the natural spirit that's been given us, the carnal, fleshly spirit. God's Spirit helps us to be generous if we choose to be led by His Spirit. It's a choice that we make every day when we get up. Every day we have a choice of generosity before us. From maybe a carnal example of leaving a tip for someone to giving a person some of our precious time. We have choices in being generous. Christ spoke in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. In many of his teachings there. In verse 38, he said, "Give." Bold statement. "Give, and it will be given to you." That is back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. And other translations say it will be overflowing generously into our laps. So you can envision a container that's got weed in it or whatever, and it's overflowing. It's been packed and shaken, but still it's overflowing. And then Christ says, "For with the same measure or standard that you use, it will be measured back to you." That is, as we give, God will give back to us using the same measure that we give to others. Now, that can be a little frightening at times, because sometimes as we follow our carnal spirit, we become a little stingy in life. And we're not overly giving. And so we have our own standards. Well, I'm only going to do this. I'm only going to go this far in this. Well, that's the measure that Christ will return good things back to us. And this could be called maybe the law of reciprocal giving. You know, I've just made that up. It's a law of reciprocal giving. As we give and share and sacrifice for others, it will come back to us correspondingly. And if we're not receiving a whole lot in life, are we giving a whole lot in life? That's not an absolute. It's something to think about. And of course, God perfectly understands our desire to share. Some of us have little to share with. And God understands our abilities to give ourselves to each other. God understands perfectly. The Apostle Paul, who had God's Spirit, and he had God's Spirit of generosity, wrote along these same lines to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. We sometimes read along these verses on the holy days. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Paul says, "But this I say, he who sows or plants or gives sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully or generously will also reap bountifully." So again, we see this law of reciprocal giving in motion. As we give, it comes back in that same measure. Verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes or decides in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, one who gladly shares." Verse 8, And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, that is, having all that we need, all that we really need, may have an abundance for every good work or deed. Now, these verses take faith to live out, to be generous. At times takes faith. God will generously bless us as we generously sow and give from the heart and do it cheerfully before Him. Yet you may say, I have no money to give to others. I can barely get by myself. Well, as I said earlier, having a spirit of generosity is not restricted to financial things. It includes financial giving, but it doesn't mean only that. Most of the generosity of God to us, that God gives us, His children, are not financial blessings, but are blessings that lead us to life eternal. That's the greatest blessing that God offers us. So how can we as Christians exhibit the godly trait of generosity? I've chosen three ways from probably many, many that I want to discuss today. Number one, a generous person is one who sacrifices his time for those in need. Who sacrifices his time for those in need. Now, our personal free time is a precious commodity, isn't it? We love our free time, our downtime, that we can go do the things that we want to do. A generous person is one who is willing to sacrifice some of his downtime when it's needed. He's being generous. And this goes beyond somewhat our family responsibilities because family time, family is a given. It's a moral and biblical example that's expected of us. A generous person is one who volunteers, who lays aside the things that they would maybe rather be doing, but to go and fill a need in someone's life or to make things run a little smoother for the benefit of everyone. And this doesn't have to be restricted to church activities. It can be in every area of our life. From work to school, but it can definitely apply, of course, to our spiritual family. A church example of one who volunteers is maybe one who actually volunteers during the feast. You know, there's always a sign-up list. Would you like to volunteer during the feast to do this or that or this or that? To help carry the load, things have to be done. A generous person is one who observes a need. He observes it in the distance. And what does he do? He becomes part of the solution to take care of that need. Instead of just, oh, I better go tell somebody about this and this and this. See, a generous person is willing to sacrifice his time to go and take care of the situation the best he can. He may need some help. He may need this or that. But a generous person just goes and makes it happen. A generous person, when aware of the burdens of others, attempts to make life more bearable for them. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So if we want to obey the law of Christ, of God, we can look beyond the Ten Commandments, the written Ten Commandments, and look at helping to bear the burdens of others. And of course, a generous person is one who stays very deeply connected to God. And in presenting their bodies a living sacrifice, Mr. Mann quoted this from Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. "Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." Sacrifice. To be generous is to sacrifice, as Jesus Christ allowed himself to be sacrificed for us. See, that's going against our nature. That's going against the way we want to be in this carnal world. What we want to be is the center of everything. Everything's coming into us. That's not the law of generosity. Point number two. A generous person is one who uses his spiritual gifts to further God's will. One who uses his spiritual gifts to further God's will. We each have our own God-given gifts as members of the body of Christ. Each one of us have strengths, and each one of us have weaknesses. Our duty is to be generous in using our gifts that God has given us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 4. It talks about some of these gifts. And one gift is that of actually giving. Romans 12, verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." See, we've all got different assignments. We've all got different duties and given to us as God has put into the body. So, verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members or parts of one another." You know, we're all connected. We're all joined together in this body of Christ. We can't function right if we're not all doing our part as God has given us a gift to do. Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that he has given to us, let us use them." Use the gifts we have. "If prophecy, let us prophesy or preach in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering or our serving. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts or encourages, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality, being very generous. He who leads, with diligence and zeal. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Now, what is your gift in the body? Are you one who can give encouragement? That you seem to have a natural proclivity to pat people on the back and to lift them up? That's an honorable gift. And it doesn't cost a lot of money. You can be poor and still give encouragement. Are you one who shows mercy at the right time? These are listed. These are just listed from Paul spoke of. So, do we give and serve generously of the gifts that God has given us? And I think most, if not many, do. You know, probably we can always improve. Life, our life experience is a life of overcoming and improving and getting better and better. I know that I'm doing things today a little better than I did 10 and 20 and 25 years ago. God is giving me some insight to overcome the flesh more and to try to take on His nature more. You know, I of all the gifts, and there's other places in the Scriptures that talks about gifts, I know that I fall down in many of these. I've struggled for many, many years of complimenting those who do a good job in their service. And I'm trying to learn to be better in that, to pat people on the back more. And this can be on the job, it can be in church, it can be family. But for some reason, that's tough for me. You did a good job. I appreciate that. God knows what He's given us. He knows our gifts. He knows if we're using these gifts or if we're hiding them. Are we hiding our gifts? Or are we using them in service and in spreading His truth? You know, our job is to seek God's righteousness as He's placed us in the body. He's placed us where He wants us. And He may change that and place this person a little different as the years go by. But to be generous means using our gifts. Point number three. A generous person is one who does indeed give financially to support the work of God. Many references throughout the Bible of giving ourselves financially to God. The principle of giving a portion of our possessions to God began in Genesis, and it travels through the whole Bible. You can't get away from it. Early on, those who worshiped God sacrificed their livestock, and they gave of their crops as an offering to please God. They did it in honor of God. And God established certain rules to follow. Today we please God by offering a portion of our possessions, a tithe of our increase, to please God. God knows that our possessions can be very, very dear to us. The carnal nature wants to hold on to what we have. But God has to know our heart. He has to know what we treasure in life. He wants to know just how generous are we. Christ said in Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is our treasure? Where is our treasure? Do you understand what that verse is even saying? What do we focus on physically in this life? Where do we put our time and energies? That's where our treasure is. Are we willing to part with the physical that God gives us to assist others or to help spread the truth of God? Those are decisions that only we individually can make. I won't turn there, but in Luke chapter 21, Christ praised the poor widow who put two mites, two copper coins, into the temple treasury. He witnessed her generosity. He witnessed her inner heart. She didn't know who was watching her. But by example, Christ saw her heart, saw what she was made of. She gave of her poverty. She had almost nothing. Each of us must choose our level of sacrificing before God. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. God's given us guidelines, amounts. He knew that the carnal nature we had, we would tend to be on the low side. He's given us percentages. He's given us a tithing principle to follow in life of our increase. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous and distribute and contribute to the needy, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." You know, God has a master journal that He tracks our heart by. I don't know if it's the job of the angels or what to keep the journal in each of us. But He knows how to measure our heart. And as we sacrifice, that pleases His God. Because God's life is a sacrifice to us. Our sacrifices in serving God and His people, again, please God. In doing that, we imitate God's nature. And then there's somewhat of, it's not in vain, because He brings blessings back to us as we sacrifice. The law of reciprocal giving kicks in. And as we sacrifice and give, God gives back. Two very short verses from the Old Testament that speak to the benefit of being generous is Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, verse 9. "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." And Isaiah chapter 32. Verse 8, Isaiah 32:8. "But a generous man devises generous things." It becomes part of his life. He shares everything with others. "And by generosity he shall stand." He won't fall, he will stand. So those three points that I just gave you, let me repeat them quickly. Being generous deals with the sacrifice of our personal time, deals with using our spiritual gifts, and giving financially to assist others and to support God's work and purpose. And as we do these things, which I believe pleases God, it's not something that we should go around boasting about. You know, in all humility, as Mr. Mann was talking about, we don't go and boast about how generous we are. It should be done in private. No one needs to know our generosity. God knows. And maybe there's a special, rare instance that someone needs to know other than God and ourselves. But that's pretty infrequent. No one has to know. Christ speaks along these lines in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3. And he says, when you go and do a charitable deed, you know, maybe being very generous on an occasion, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And that's all we need is the pleasure of God, knowing that we're trying to overcome our nature and become more like Him. Our reward is from God. We shouldn't need the reward of men praising us for a lot of good deeds. You know, that's what the Pharisees lived for. They lived for recognition. They lived for the pat on the backs and thinking they were somebody special from others. Humility, true humility, seeks no recognition from being generous. If you're humble, you're not wanting recognition. And by and large, over the years, I believe the Church of God and converted members have been very generous, very giving. And God continues, it seems, to be pruning His church and shaping it and polishing those that He's chosen. He wants each of us to lay aside that carnal nature, that weight and that sin that drags us down, and He wants us to take on His nature. God is very generous in what He has given and promised us. We should strive to be like Him. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the Good News Translation, which I like reading from that translation, it says, it quotes this, translates it, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. And I like that. There's more happiness in receiving and giving than in receiving. And you know, probably only a converted mind can understand that. A mind that has been around a number of years in the church can agree, can come to see and agree and experience that there is indeed more happiness in giving than in receiving. And as we age, I think we tend to become happier in giving than in receiving. You know, God has somewhat created this invisible spiritual law that rewards us with happiness as we sacrifice and give ourselves to God and His church. And it's just there. I want to read now an example of someone who led a life of faith, a life of service and sacrifice in the early New Testament church. It's a very touching story that reminds us that God can at any time perform a miracle in our lives. You know, just because God may not be performing miracles right and left today, it doesn't mean He cannot, but He's choosing to for a good purpose. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Let's all turn there. Very touching story. Has a lot of value, a lot of meaning. We see an example of a very faithful, very generous servant of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 36, at Joppa. Joppa was a seaport city there on the Mediterranean. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. That's in the Greek. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. And she was apparently very generous in all of her works. Verse 37, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda, a city, was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him, Peter, not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments, the various clothing items which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Verse 40. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Beautiful story there. Peter, in his compassion, was prompted by God's Spirit to pray for Tabitha to be raised from the dead. And she was, in God's mercy. God generously gave life back to Tabitha. And because of that, many believed, and many began to worship with the disciples. God performed a miracle that turned the hearts of many. This example shows that our lives are truly in God's hands. God chooses life and God chooses death. Have you ever thought, if Dorcas had not been a kind woman, full of generous good works, full of charitable deeds, would she have been raised from the dead? Only God knows. For sure, God is very pleased with our sacrificing for others, our doing things for others, being generous with others. He enjoys us becoming like Himself. And let's remember that our generosity that we offer must always be done in wisdom and not foolishness. It needs a positive purpose. We don't want to go and enable others because of our generosity. We need to consider and plan and let God's fruit be born of the outcome of any of our generosity. So you just don't throw things at people that truly they may not need or want, or that it would not help them. So we need to give ourselves with wisdom. Our hope for a better spiritual life to come is because of the generosity of God. In closing, I want to read one last verse from 2 Corinthians that helps to demonstrate the awesome God that we serve. God wants to make us rich with what He has. He wants to share it all with us. He wants to make us rich. Do we want to be rich? Do we want the richness that God wants to share with us? Well, let's notice 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Scripture that doesn't seem to be read too much, but wow, what a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He, Christ, was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Jesus Christ, who was rich, spiritually rich, with the Father from the beginning, the one who created all things for our sakes, gave up that richness and became poor physically, that we, through His physical sufferings and poverty, might become rich spiritually as He is. Beautiful use of symbolism there that Paul is using. Indeed, God is a very generous and loving God. So as His children, let's be likewise. Let's be generous Christians, giving of ourselves so we can become more like God.